All right, so go ahead and head on out. Have a great time. Just so you know, I want to make sure you know, you need to appreciate those who minister to our children, all right? Of course, it's all that. I do it for us. And of course, it's all those that volunteer in there and make that happen. And I think that's really important. You know, they can sit in here. What we do as a church, Mary Gruner started it years and years ago. She said, the kids need to be with us at least one Sunday a month so that they understand what church is all about. They get an experience with our family. We have a family worship. But then they need some age-appropriate teaching. They're not going to understand what I have to say. You guys have time to understand. I don't understand what I have to say sometimes, all right? You know? And so I really appreciate those who do that and those in our nursery and those that are taking part. But we've been doing prayer. And my prayer is that you've been growing through this. That God has kind of opened some doors. And if you watch that video, praying is not that intimidating anymore, I'm hoping. I know I was talking about somebody helping pray after the service this morning. They were already saying no. So they're not there yet, all right? And we've got two more weeks to get there. No, so we're going to have a good time. So what I did this morning, I kind of broke the message down into two different kind of parts to it. And I asked them to take the first part of the message and kind of talk about prayer, the general picture of prayer for us. And then I'm going to take the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to spend some time just kind of pulling that apart and seeing how that can really make a prayer for us every day of our life and how we can use that daily in our prayer. So I'm going to ask Dan to come, and he's going to share with you. Just put your Bible on out, open it up. This is the first part there, and we'll have a good time as Dan shares. Dan, would you come?
Thanks. Good morning. Whoa, that's loud. How you guys doing? Well, that didn't wake you up. Now you're awake. Well, welcome. I'm so glad you guys are here. And so we're into this 40-day study. This is week 5, and we are talking about prayer. And I think it's so funny that how God works us all out, because it is true, the story that Gary told, that I did tell him, man, don't ever ask me to pray or I'll leave the church. Never ask me to pray out loud. Don't ever put me in that position, and we'll be just fine. And now I get to preach a little message on how important prayer is. So it's kind of funny about that. But for us to go into how to pray throughout the day, we got to find someone in the Bible that exemplifies that or really speaks powerfully to that. And I like Paul. Paul does a really good job. For one, there's scripture that says he prays without ceasing. You know, so if you get out your outlines, open up your Bibles, get out your smartphones, go to your Bible apps. Ephesians 6, verse 18 is where we're going to be picking up and going through, and we're going to unpack this morning. Because this is all about communication. Prayer is a type of communication for us to have with God. Now, if you're in a relationship, or you've been in a relationship, or you planning on having a relationship, you got to have communication, correct? You can't have a relationship without being able to talk to one another or navigate through life. The same thing with God. We have to be able to communicate with God, and that's what this prayer is. It is essential in our relationship with God. And it's a privilege. It's actual a privilege for us that Jesus died to prepare a way for us to have that communication with God. Amen? Amen. So Jesus gave us the access, and Paul understands this completely, because in all the writings Paul does, and Paul is uber smart. This guy is well educated. Don't kid yourself. This guy knows what he's doing. He may have started out bad, but he ended super strong. And the reason why he ended and got through this was because of, say it together, prayer. Prayer was a central part of his life. In all of his letters and all of his writing, he is always for brothers and sisters. He is always praying for situations and circumstances and people along the way. Paul is not, it's just like he is constantly talking with God. So Paul knew exactly how to pray throughout his day. And so let's kind of unpack Ephesians 6:18. Let's see how this goes. Paul says this: pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything. To do this, you must always be ready, never give up, and always pray for God's people. Ephesians 6:18. That's it. That's the nut and bolts of it all. Paul says, and you can underline this, pray in the Spirit. So I would circle pray, underline in the Spirit. He's given us six things to do here. And then I would underline at all times. And then I would underline all kinds of prayers. And then I would circle the word asking. And then I would underline for everything. And then I would draw a square around this statement. to do this, you must. I'd put a square around that. I'm having you do this for a reason. And then I would underline, always be ready and never give up. And then I would underline, always pray for God's people. Because there's six things right there that Paul is telling us to pray. The first one is pray in the Spirit. This is God's prompting. He actually prompts you to do things. Here's a good story. Linda and I story. This is a few years back, or I don't even know, it could be a few days back. Linda will tell you the truth. We're driving by the grocery store, and we see some people sitting on the curb that, you know, were down and out, some homeless people, and Linda stops the car right in the middle of the road, and she says, you know, we got to do something for them. I mean, right in the middle, I'm like, do something for who? What are we even talking about? I didn't see anybody. She goes, there's people over there. I'm like, there's people over there? God was clearly prompting her to do something, and so I get out, and I go sit down on the curb, and sure enough, there's two people there. The funny part about that is they were just sitting there praying to God that somebody or something significant can happen, because they were told to go, just to get up and leave. I'm not making this stuff up. And I'm going, well, this is funny. I'm the associate pastor here at the church in Salida, and I just want to encourage you. I just want to pray over you. And we got some food for you that we want to give you, and we want to support you and walk this road with you. And as I'm talking, church pull up, and people come out, and they got bags of groceries. See, God, if you're listening, will prompt you on where to go, what to do, what to say. When the Bible says you do not have to worry about what to say, you honestly do not have to worry about what to say. Because God will prompt you in what to say. He'll actually prompt you on where to go. If you're willing, you could write that. Put a big if somewhere on your page, and I would circle that and put little feelings on it and highlight it with your Bible marker. If you obey. You want to Google search? Google search how many times in the Bible it says if. Because it's a choice. It's a choice for you. If you will obey, right? So that's in the Spirit. God will prompt you. He will not leave you or forsake you. The second one is all times. Pray at all times. This is like in all occasions. You don't have to go any further than to listen to David in the Psalms. He prayed in every occasion. He was desperate. He was excited. He was scared. He prayed in every single occasion. You have the prayer of Jabez. You have the prayer of Hannah. You go through the Bible, and these people are praying. And it's in a constant prayer in all occasions. There's all kinds. There's never a bad time to pray with God. There's good times, bad times, in between times, sad times, depths of time. There's grieving times. There's times to rejoice, times to just be on your knees questioning why. Those are times to pray. Not all the times will God tell you and prompt you for someone else, but He is always prompting you for you. And the reason why He's prompting you for you is because you are the one that's going to interact with all the people you meet along the way. Amen? Does that make sense? You're the one that do this. You're the one that has to find out the Spirit. You're the one that has to pray in all occasions. It's you. No one else. It's you. Put your hands on your chest and tap like this. Everybody tap the chest. Say, it's me. It's me. I'm the one. You're the one. And then Paul says this, in all kinds, pray in all kinds of prayers. There is all kinds of prayers. There's all emotions. There's all these emotions that we go through in life. And that's the kind, there's desperation, there's anger, there's frustration, there's all these feelings that we're introduced through society, through our home life, through our work life, just through everyday moments. There's all these promptings. See, the emotions are the promptings for you to pray. So it's like, I put it this way, man. Don't take your frustrations to Facebook. You don't go to the social medias to get out your frustrations or to say your peace. God says, come to me first. Then you won't cause all the problems on Facebook. Or you won't throw gasoline on the fire on Facebook. I'm beating up Facebook, but it's true. It's true. There's political things that are happening today. There's depression. There's anxiety. There's all these types and kinds and times and to pray. Paul says this. He says, and ask for everything. ask for everything. And I really struggle with this. It's like, what does that mean? Ask for, I mean, because my mind just runs amok with what I can ask for. Because he says everything. Everything means everything, and there's nothing left to ask. It's whatever you can think of. So what is it that I have to think of when I'm praying to God? Because nothing is out of bounds with God. I can pray for, if I'm struggling sexually, I can pray for help there. If I'm struggling with alcohol, drugs, suicide, depression, I can go to God there. If I'm a crisis that I'm just collapsing on the inside and the anxiety is overtaking me and I just can't seem to breathe, I have to get up in the middle of the night and pace and eat and drink and I try all these different things to get through, and God is prompting you to pray. God, help me in my desperate state. God, help me in this financial situation. God, help me in this division that's happening in our families today. Can I get an amen for that? Not your amen in the division, but oh my goodness, this is what it's making the Bible correct. So Paul says, pray in the Spirit. Listen to his prompting. Pray all times. There's all kinds of occasions. Pray all kinds of prayers. Look towards your emotions. Paul says, ask for anything. Nothing is out of bounds for God. Man, I love Paul. He leaves no stone unturned. See, in that part where I had you square off, that part where it says, to do this, you must. See, this is an imperative. Paul is saying for you to pray in the Spirit, for you to pray in all times, for you to pray all kinds of prayers, for you to ask for anything. He is telling you, you can't do that without doing this next step. It's imperative that you do this in order to do that. That's what Paul is saying here. So, let me close part of Paul a little bit. Let me just kind of fine-tune it, or like Gary says, let's shoot a bullet at it instead of a shotgun, right? So this is Paul. He is not on some beach sipping Mai Tais on a chair, listening to the sounds of the ocean and having the sun rays hit him as he's writing his memoirs about his mission trips. He is not kicking back, relaxing with a wonderful life and how things are going. This is the book of Ephesians. This is a letter to the churches, and Paul is in prison, in Rome, in chains. He's not on a beach. When Paul is saying, pray in the Spirit, all types of prayers, all kinds of prayers, and ask for anything, he is chained up, bound by iron chains in a dark, dingy, nasty, smelling prison cell. Not like today's prisons. Today, every prisoner gets a TV, every prisoner gets a toilet, every prisoner gets three squares, prisoner gets medical and dental. That's today's prison. Paul didn't have that. You want to go to the bathroom? There's a corner where there's a hole over there. That's where everyone goes. Some people are so messed up that they're peeing on themselves in the prison. So it's not just the hole you go, it's the person that you're responsive to. And Paul is writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, not to discourage them, but to encourage them. He is in the discouraging place you could ever be, chained up in a dark, nasty place, and he's writing a letter of encouragement. And he gets to this part in Ephesians where he says, pray in the Spirit, pray all times, pray all kinds, ask for anything. And he's looking around him, and he's at all the prisoners. Ephesians 5:15 says something like this. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of your opportunity, because the days are evil. So then, don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is. He is in a prison writing this letter. He wrote that as he's looking around at all those prisoners that made foolish decisions. He's looking at that and saying, gosh, this is what it takes to be unwise and wise, and parking on his own life, because he at one time was holding coats where they murdered Christians. This is where Paul thinks he should be. He deserves that prison cell. He does not deserve to do what God's aimed to do, just like us. So Paul is writing this letter, and it's super important, because he goes on from there to Ephesians 6.
and he writes the armor of God. Now you have to put on the belt of truth, the readiness. You have to have the breastplate of righteousness. You have to have the sword of the Word of God, the helmet of salvation. He's looking at the Roman soldiers in this prison with these prisoners, and he's writing this letter of encouragement, and he's saying, don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is. And the only way to do that is to stay in constant communication with him. He's looking at this event that in Ephesians 6, just before we get to 6:18. And 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and all kinds of prayers, asking for everything. And to do this, you must always be ready and never give up and always pray for God's people. That is the undergirding. That is the underpinning. That is the foundation to the armor of God. You want the armor of God, you better pray. You want to be able to piece that armor on. You want to put each section on. You better be praying to God. You better be having that constant communication with Jesus. You have that prompting by him. And he's giving all your promptings. He's giving you the occasions. He's giving you the types of prayers. He's giving you the emotions. He's giving you the situations and circumstances. He's giving you the happiness and bad times and good times and sadness and grieving. And why, God, why, God, why? Those are the promptings for you to what? Say it with me. Pray. Paul is saying it is imperative that you pray. And so Paul, if he was right here, you know what he would say to you? He would say, and what about you? He would say, and what about all of you? I was in physical chains. What's chaining you up? Are you in a prison from your past? Are you dealing with the dark, dingy secrets that you're holding inside your head and your hearts? What iron chains are you dealing with that are you up and holding you captive? Is it anger? Is it unforgiveness? What is it that's holding you in your captivity? Because he says, as he looks through his life, he goes, I was there. And I was able to write a letter of encouragement because I didn't fall prey to my prison walls. I fell prey to my Savior. I prayed and prayed and prayed to ask God's prompting to the opportunities. You don't have to have a physical prison to be, it could be metaphorically, you're in prison. Because Paul would look at you and say, what about you? So let's go on. Paul says, always be ready. When he shifts from, when he says it's imperative that you have to do this in order to do that, Paul is saying, always be ready and never give up. It says, what Paul is saying better, make a plan to pray. I can't remember how the old adage goes. Something like, it's not that you plan to fail, it's you fail to plan. If you want to fail, fail to pray. Anybody want to fail? Anybody want to fail? You don't want to fail. So don't forget to pray. Don't forget to have a plan. Always be ready and never give up. That is saying plan to pray. We need to have this, and I wrote it this way, consistent, persistent prayers so that it helps us to persevere through life. Let me say it again. You want to have this consistent, persistent prayer life that perseveres or preserves you all through your life. Does that make sense? George Mueller. This guy lived in the mid-1800s in Germany. I love this story. George Mueller had a prompting from God to start an orphanage. But George Mueller was a different kind of a guy. You see, he didn't get this prompting, go to his church, go to the community, get on Facebook or social media. Of course, they didn't have that back then. I'm just making light of that. But he didn't go out there, put it out there to say, this is what I want to do. I need help. He made a commitment to God that said, I'm not going to go to anyone else. For every need for this orphanage, I am going to start this orphanage, and I am going to, you know, when he was done, before he died, that orphanage that he started served over 10,000 kids. I'm going to start with that. So going backwards, he starts it, and somehow
miraculously, a home comes up. Not just a small home, but a big. Miraculously, right? Just out of thin air, this home comes out. No, it's because he made this commitment. He trusted God so deeply to provide for all his needs, and God did it. He gave him the home. Every time they needed food, he didn't go to outside resources or anybody else for help. He went to God. And all the people that he worked for, George Mueller, had the understanding, you go to God. You don't go to anybody else. That's how we're going to run this orphanage. And so there was always food. Everything was being taken care of. Long story short, there was a bill that needed to be taken. It was like a week later. He had to pay this bill, or this place was going to close down. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And you know what? And God always showed up at the 11th hour, right on time. And it's like, you know what? The day's coming, God. The day's coming. It's coming. It's right around the corner. And he gets undressed and he gets his night clothes on and he climbs in the bed. He's like, you know, God, tomorrow that bill is due. God, okay. And so he gets up in the morning and says, okay, God, it's morning. Today is it. He gets dressed, he has breakfast, and he heads out the door, and he's walking towards a place that he plays, that he's got to go pay this bill, and the whole time he's talking to God, God, I'm going. I'm a few blocks away, God. I'm a few doorsteps away, God. That bill is due, God. And right at the right time, a lady pulls up with an envelope, but he needs to pay that bill. You want to be impacted? Trust God. You want your life changed? Pray consistently, persistently, so it preserves your life. See, that's what George Mueller understood. So here's a significant part of George Mueller. It's like this. God, if you are who you say you are, you will do what you say you will do. God, if you are who you say you are, you will do what you say you're going to do. And I know what God's word says about what he's going to do. But you know what? Honestly, he's much bigger than what he says in his word. He's much bigger than just saying, you know, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. You know, I'm just always going to carry you along. He's much, much bigger than that. In fact, he can take care of a bill before you get to the doorstep. He can take care of your grief when you just came to get over it. The hurt that you have that seems to change the trajectory of your life. And you keep coming back to the same old story. If you trust God to do what he's going to do, he will do it according to his will and his time. God, if you are who you say you are, then you are going to do what you say you're going to do. Amen? Amen. Then Paul says, away for God's people. Okay. Y'all know what Gary's model verse is? Can you say it? Anybody? Anybody want to say it? Philippians 4:13 is his model verse. You guys, we all want to say it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, you're all caught now. See, now you have no excuse. You just said it. There's nothing you can't do. There's not a prayer you can't pray. There's not a situation you can't go through. Because if you say you don't, then Jesus is not you. And if you say Jesus is with you, then you can get through everything. So my motto verse, anybody know what my motto verse is? Nobody? Really? Seriously? Wow. Man, see, Gary, I got to preach more. You back there? Nah, I don't know where he's at. My motto verse is this, Luke 22:31-33. Now, I'm Eeyore, and Gary is Mary Poppins. I'm a depressed person, and Gary is super uber happy. I am not Disneyland. He is Disneyland. We're opposites, right? Do we get this, right? So my motto verse is Luke 22:31-33. It says this, Simon, Simon, Satan is asked to sift you all as wheat. That's my motto verse. But I'm praying for you, Simon, that your faith does not fail. And when you turn, Simon, when you realize that I am right with you, when you come to, paraphrasing here, it doesn't say all this stuff. Come to the understanding that I'm doing what I say, that I will do what I told you I would do, that you are going to turn around and you're going to help these multitudes of people that are coming behind you that need help like you did. My motto verse is a little wacky. But it's Jesus who's speaking. When you go to your Bible and you look up Luke 22:31-33, it's red words. Jesus is saying this to Simon. Jesus didn't say to Simon, hey, look, you know, I'm going to go in front of you and fight for you. But Jesus is God. He didn't tell Peter, hey, look, you know, I'm going to come alongside of you and walk with you. Although Jesus is doing that. He didn't tell that to Peter. He didn't tell Peter, you know, I've got your back. I'm going to carry you along the way. All these things Jesus could have said, but he didn't say any one of those things. And Jesus is doing every one of those things, by the way. He said, I'm praying for you, Simon. And if Jesus says it's important to pray, and if Jesus by his own act prays, then what must you... Okay. Then what must you do? Pray. We must pray. When I preach, it's interactive, okay? You guys got to, you know, let's come to the understanding, you know. When I ask questions, I need you to respond. I'm Italian. I talk with my hands. So Paul says like this, just to kind of sum up 6:18. Paul says, about praying, all times you can pray, all occasions you can pray, all kinds of prayers you can pray. He says you can ask for everything. He says always be ready and never give up. And then he says at the end, always pray for your brothers. He is saying all kinds, all types, ask for anything, always, always, always pray. And that brings us to our first point. What Paul is saying is this, keep a running conversation with. Never stop praying, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. Never stop, never give up, keep on praying. Whatever is on your mind, whatever is on your heart, go to God first before you go to your friends that feel the same way you do. Before you go to Facebook, before you go to other areas, go to God first. Before you start trying to figure it all out or crush under the perplexing, wondering why, instead of doing all those things, drop to your knees and pray and have him deliver you from your situation. Because he will. You can pray about relational, financial, physical, emotional. You can pray for, about professional things. There is nothing, remember, there is nothing out of balance with God. To keep this running conversation with God, Paul did this. He started on the Damascus Road. It was a bright light, soft voice, and Paul's life changed. And then he started this long conversation with God that was only interrupted by the people he met along the way. Paul started a conversation with God that never ended. And even when he was interrupted by people he met, he prayed for them. He told them about Jesus. So you can ask yourself, where do you want to help? What do you want to do? You want to know how to pray throughout your day? You got to find out what can you talking with God constantly and consistently. Then ask yourself this question, where do you want to help? What is motivating you? What is driving you? What are you passionate about? Is it homeless? Is it people that deal with depression? Is it people that are suffering from a suicide? Is it dissolving marriages? Is it abortions? Is it being a peacekeeper? Is it anger? Has somebody lied to you, cheated on you, or slandered you? What are you passionate about to help other people? What are you doing? Because you just can't collapse inside yourself. Paul says, be prompted by God. Pray in all kinds of prayers in all kinds of situations. And don't forget, you can ask for anything, but never give up. And always, always be alert. What are you passionate about? Because the world will provide you with all that you need to stay in constant communication with God. You don't have to try to work it all out. It's the world. You want to know how you get up in the morning and you start talking with God until the end of the day? Look at the headlines. The world will give you everything that you need. Point two, schedule prayer times throughout your day. You can schedule doctor's appointments, dentist appointments. You can schedule counseling appointments. You can schedule vanity appointments. You can get your lips puffed up or Botox injected in your forehead. You can go get your nails done, your eyelash bended. You can do all sorts of wonderful things. You can get your cars fixed. You can schedule all these things. If I were to look at your calendars, I would probably see it filled with a to-do list that just never ends. Amen? It just never ends. Well, here's what he's saying.
if you want to pray without ceasing, if you want to have this long conversation with God that never ends, then schedule it. Anybody got a smartphone? If you got a phone, get it out. Hold it up above your head. If you don't have a phone and it's not here with you, put your hand above your head and raise it that you have one. If you got a smartphone, get your hands up. Everybody, come on. I know you all have smartphones. Come on, don't lie to me. You're in church. Seriously? No, you're not going to lie in church. Look at you. Look around. Everybody look around. You see all these devices? Now you don't have an excuse. Open up your calendars. Put it priority one red in your calendars and have it prompt you to pray. Pray in the morning. Pray at 9 o'clock in the morning. Pray at noon. Pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Pray at 6. Pray before. It will tell you and prompt you on to keep that conversation going. You have no excuse. God has given us technology not to keep us separated from each other or drive a wedge between us and God. He has given us this technology. Give it back to God. He does great and mighty things with it. Amen? You want to have that consistent, persistent prayer that perseveres, that preserves you. See, that's what we desire. You want to know what it's like to pray throughout your day. Then start this running conversation with God that never gets that only gets interrupted by people you meet along the way. Amen? Amen? So now that's the boom. Now Gary's going to come out. We're going to see this video, and he's going to really put a fine point to each one of those, okay? All right, let's have Gary watch this video, and then Gary will come out.
about you guys. Does anybody need God? As I want to be, let me remind me, I need God, but He's waiting on me. He wants to hear from me. He wants to talk to me. That video really gives me that God wants to talk to us. Yeah, that's what prayer is all about. Prayer is all about God talking to us and us talking to God. And again, because it is this running conversation that we want to have with God, you know. I get up in the morning and you know, I don't say amen to, just so you know, I don't say amen at any of my prayers. I don't know about you, except maybe when we're eating dinner, so it's time to eat. Amen, let's eat. You know? So this is running conversation with God, but we also need those special times. You know, there's some religions that have, you know, three times a day to pray. You know, you pray at this time, and then you pray at this time, and you pray at this time. You know, and so what I'm going to do this morning is I want to take that Lord's Prayer, and I'm going to give you seven times to pray. Is that okay? I'm going to give you seven occasions to pray with the Lord's Prayer this morning. Because God's waiting to talk to you. He's waiting to hear from you. That video, I've watched that video four times. I'm still, you can see me when that came out. Because God, I need Him. And I think we all need Him. At least I hope you're here because I think you think you need Him. And he's just there to speak through His Word here. And He wants us to speak with our mouths to Him. He wants us to open our hearts up to Him. And so what I want to do is, I haven't done this in years, all right? Responsive reading. Anybody familiar with that? Some of you guys are going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Responsive reading means I read a portion, and then you read a portion, and then I read a portion, and you read a portion. And we're going to do that with the Lord's Prayer. So get your little outline out. Get your little outline out, and we're going
to... on the screen. And to make it easy for you, I'm going to have Dan kind of lead you in your part. Is that okay? So you want a pace and a pattern, you can just kind of follow Dan. His mic's on, and you just kind of follow Dan. I'll read the white, you can read the dark, and we'll just kind of see what God has to say. It's going to be on the screen. It's also there in your bulletin. But I'm going to ask you to stand up as we read God's Word this morning. So why don't you stand up, and I'm going to read the light, and you can read the bold training there, and we'll see what God has to say. And in praying, do not weep. Do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our... And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you.
Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Amen. Let's go ahead and be seated. Now, in your worship folder is a couple of papers. I think one is yellow. Is there a yellow one in there? And one is, I don't know. Orange? Okay, thank you. Pull those out. You're going to need them. We're going to start with the yellow one. Get ready to get that out. What I want to do is I want to break down your day. I want to break down a day and say, you can pray this at this time and this at this time and this. And you just kind of use the Lord's Prayer as a reminder, kind of as an outline. Now, nowhere we're told to pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, some people pray the Lord's Prayer, and I think those are empty words. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying it. I'm going to say, put your own twist on it. Can I say that? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you seven quick things. Now, in the morning, when you get up, okay, before your feet touch the ground, all right, when you wake up, get up with gratitude, all right? Get up with a thankful heart. Get up with good, you know, I walk out and say good morning to my wife when she's up before me. You know, she's sitting in her recliner. I walk out of the room, and she's sitting there, and I look, and I say, good morning. I don't just say, morning. I say, good morning. Your attitude, those first 8 minutes of your time, will day. Did you know that? Doctors have said that. That first 8 minutes will determine how your day is going to go. How do you get up? You going to wake up grumpy, or is she sleeping next to you? I shouldn't say that. You know, are you going to get up grumpy? You know, you're going to get up growling and
gruff, and how are you going to get up in the morning? What kind of attitude are you going to do when you get up in the morning? And so here's what I want to say. Feet touch the ground. Give glory to God. Does that sound okay? Before anything else, praise God and thank God. Now, your workbook had an A to Z thing, right? If you've been in your workbook, I printed a yellow page. If you didn't bring your workbook, you got a yellow page. If you got your workbook, you can just turn to your workbook. I want you right now to thank God from A to Z. I'm not going to give you all that time. You're only going to have a few minutes now. All right? So what would you write down? What would be an A? What would be a B? Write something down. I'm going to give you time. I'm going to have a little video play. They're going to play a little video real quick. Just write something down.
Praise and blessings with perfect peace. Comfort for family, protection where we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear your spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the time you sleep is light so what aches tomorrow you're near? What if trials burn your flight? Are your mercies undisguised? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love. Cause if every promise from your word is not enough, while you hear each desperate plea, the long that we'd have faith to believe. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops?
What do you give God praise for? Look at 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is from God, why boast as though it were not a gift? God has blessed us. You know, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I want. There's a lot of things I'd like to have. But I'll drive around, and you know what? I look at others, and I talk to others. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. But give God thanks. This comes from that very first part of that Lord's Prayer. It goes like this. For your Father knows what before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven. Our Father. What are you thankful for? I'm thankful that he's my Father. He's Abba. I need him and he wants me. Isn't it nice to be wanted? You know, I'm thankful that he wants me. You know, I'm laying in bed, you know, as I was thinking about this morning and thinking about these notes and, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for a warm house and a nice blanket. I'm thankful for a hot water heater. You might know what I'm talking about. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my wife. What are you thankful for? What are you going to thank God for? You know, I'm thankful for indoor plumbing. Anybody? We take so much for credit. And God has truly, truly blessed us. You know, it's like, you're thankful for a warm house when I go home. And during the summer, I'm thankful for a cold house when it's hot outside. Anybody? What are we thankful for? So you had that little list. Again, just put it to me. Put that on your nightstand. And before you get up in the morning, just reach over, pull that off your nightstand. And God, I'm just going to say thank you for that right there. Just every morning before your feet hit the ground. Our Father, I'm thankful. That's what I put down here. Bless God's name at breakfast. So you get up. Before you get out of bed, before your feet touch the ground, you've said, God, I'm thankful. Now you come up and, you know, you're starting to get breakfast together. You're sitting down for breakfast or you're in line at Starbucks. Now this is a good time to talk about it. You're in line at Starbucks. When you're going to pray at Starbucks, you don't have to go, all right, I'm in line. Dear Jesus, as I get my coffee. You don't have to do that. You can just say, you know, God, I'm in my coffee. Thank you for being Abba. Anybody? You know, you don't have to close your eyes, fold your fingers, you know, do somersaults. It don't have to be, you know, I got to pray 10 minutes. You know, you can pray a 30-second prayer and still be good. Anybody? And so we just got to give honor to God's name. Hallowed be your name, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. You know, if you turn to the song, it's a kind of the song book and the poem book of the Hebrew people and their nation. And you turn there and read their song book. Over 80 times it tells them to praise God, to exalt God, to bless God's name. Over and over, like 80 times it's talking about God's name, God's name, God's name. And a name is very significant. You know, how many really wrestle when you name your kids? Anybody? You just open the book and say, I'm going to take that name, right? Is that what you guys did? You know, you probably sat around and about it with somebody. You know, you might even bought a book of names as you wrestle with your names, you know? We named our son Jeremiah, not because Jeremiah is in the Bible, because we like the song "Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog." You know, you know what? We always, you know, a name is significant, especially in this time. It used to be your name was your character, right? You had to have a good name. You know, it was my handshake and my name. You know, and that's what it is with God. See, when we're talking about God's name, we're just not talking about, you know, the guy's prayer. She knows all God's nicknames, you know. I like that prayer as he was making that joke. You know, and God does have all these names. But those names are about his character. And so I put that names in there for you. You know, you can put this on your dining room table or put it next to your coffee pot when you're cooking your coffee or have it there. Because I think this is good. You know, when you're going to talk to God and you're going to pray and you're going to seek God in the morning, I don't know where maybe you're at, and maybe it's the time you just want to say, God, El Shaddai. You just want to acknowledge, you know, you're God. You're the Almighty God. You're on your throne, and you're God Almighty. And so you want to say that. Or maybe you want to say, God Ruha. Don't ask me how to pronounce it. I'm doing the best I can, all right? The God who sees. Or God Daha, the God of knowledge. That J-A-H-E-W, that's called Jehovah, just so you want to pronounce it. That's the root for Jehovah. It's Yahweh, but it's Jehovah. In Greek, it's Jehovah. In Hebrew, it's Yahweh. It comes from the verb, which means exist. The one we probably know, there's a song called Jehovah Jireh. Anybody ever heard that song? The Lord will provide. Anybody need that in the morning when you're having bread? God, I got some provisions I need today. Anybody need? That might be, you know, God, that's what we exalt your name. You're Jehovah Jireh this morning. And so, you know, you got up with gratitude, and then as you get your coffee ready, as you're getting sitting breakfast, you know, you might want to, God, shalom. You know, God, I need peace today. My life is just a mess right now, God, and I need some peace today. And so I just gave you this. I just thought this was kind of a nice little sheet that, you know, you can just kind of hang on to as you're praying and just, you know, God, I just want to acknowledge who you are, because this is about God's character. It's about who God is and how God works and moves in the midst of our life. And I want to make sure as we do this, you know, you just don't call God by name on Sunday. Well, I went on Sunday. I called Jehovah, Adonai. You pray to God and you use his name all week long and you exalt his name all week long. And as you do that, let me say it this way. The closer you get to God, the better you know God and his names, the less you're going to worry. The more you know and the better you know God, the more you're going to relax. The more you know about God, you experience God as you experience His name, the more confidence you're going to have. Anybody? The more you walk with God in the names of God, the more joy you're going to have in your life. These are the things that God wants to do. You need peace. You call on God's name. And so we see these. And here's what it says in Psalms 9:10. Those who know your name trust in you, O Lord. Do not abandon those who search for you. See, those names remind promises of God. Can you see that in the names? Those are the promises of God. And so in the morning, before you get out of bed and your feet touch the floor, you just say thanks to God. And then as you're sitting there fixing your breakfast or standing in line at McDonald's or Taco Bell, I don't know if they still have breakfast, you know, or you're at Starbucks, just exalt God's name. 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it is, just God, I thank you. Give me peace today. Let me get through this day. And now as you're going through your day, you're coming up to a coffee break. Anybody take coffee breaks? Man, you guys are all with it today, aren't you? We're going to blow through this. You get a coffee break, right? You drop the kids off. You know, you had your breakfast. You got up. You had your breakfast. You take your kids. You dump them off at school. You drop them off at school. Don't dump them off at school. Or you're homeschooling. You got them all set up. Now you go over there and get you a cup of coffee, right? You know? Or maybe some candy. You know? And so that's a good time to pray. You know, it's a good time. And so at mid-morning, remember what matters most. You know, you started your day and it's kind of, I don't know about you, but sometimes the first part of the day is really the hard part. Anybody? You know, the first part trying to figure out, what I got all this to do. How am I going to get all this done? Where do I go? How do we do? Anybody get that kind of frustrated in the morning? And so by the time you sit down at that break, it's kind of, okay, let's focus in now. How are we going to proceed? My next step? Where am I going to go from here? What really matters most? What does it really count most? Here's what the Lord's Prayer says. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What really matters most is God. God, how are you going to use this day? God, how are you going to use me this day? God, what really matters? What is it I really need to get done today, God? This plate of stuff that I can't do it all in one day. There's too much, God. How do I put my hands around this? How do I use this, God? Where do I go, God? How do I manage this, God? You know, that coffee time, that break. You know, when you're finally kind of getting everything organized, you're going to go, okay, this is what I can do. Ding, 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 ding. What matters most? God, help me stay focused on you today. Help me see your hand in my life today. Help me see the word and the truth as I talk to so-and-so. As I minister, as I care, as I go, whatever it is, are you taking that time for God and helping God be a part of what he's doing? What matters most? It says, seek the kingdom of God and all else. Live righteously and he will give you everything you need. I like, you know, God is good. Is God enough? You know, and we need to see this in our life, you know. You know, I need money. I need time. I need peace. I need patience. God, I need these in my life. Help me do what matters most, God. Help me seek you. So you get up with gratitude, right? For his name at breakfast. During that coffee break. During that kind of break, you just kind of focus in exactly what do we need to get done, God? How are we going to make this day work? What is it you want me to do this day? This is the day the Lord has created. What is I'm going to do? And so now we come to lunch. Anybody like lunch? I got 19 minutes before lunch. We got to hurry. All right, because I didn't get breakfast this morning, although I did have a donut left over from Thursday. All right, there was still one left, and I ate it, ladies, so keep them coming, all right? You know? That was Brenda's candy to the kids. I stole one of the bags that you left. I opened it and ate some of the candy. Thanks, Dan. But it comes to lunchtime, and you know, it's like you're going to sit down and you're going to eat lunch, and that's a good time. You know, we need lunch. Anybody? I need lunch. It's a good time to talk about your needs, isn't it? You know, I kind of focus on where God's leading me this day. Now, God, how am I going to use the needs? What do I need to make that happen? What do I need, God? What do I need in my marriage? What do I need in my life? What do I need financially? What do I need emotionally? What do I need spiritually? What do I need, God? Where are you taking my needs, God? How do I meet those needs? And so you lay your needs before God at lunchtime. You let God know these are the things that I need. And here, listen to what it says. Matthew 6:11. Give us today our daily bread. Daily. I don't know about you, but I want enough for the week. Anybody? You know? I kind of reflected back on Egypt when they left Egypt. Remember, they went through the 40 days in the wilderness, or 40 years in the wilderness. Not just 40 days, it was 40 years in the wilderness. They got a little hungry, and God provided food, and he said, pick up enough for the day. Some of them were like me. I'm going to be honest. I would have not just picked up enough for the day, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, God, I trust you, but I'm going to make sure I'm ready. You know, you guys act so innocent. Yeah, and it's like, well, now there's maggots. Ugh, gross. You know, but you pick up enough for God's going to give us our daily need. Not tomorrow, God. I don't know about you, God. I want strength for the week. Anybody? This is Sunday. I want strength for the week. I get strength for the day. Tomorrow's going to have enough worry for itself. I think it's somewhere in the scripture it says that too. Just today, our daily needs. And so we pray for those daily needs, what we need for today. I need strength. I need wisdom. I need encouragement. I need, God, what do I need today? And as I look at that, and it says this, and I ask for anything I need. Ask for anything. Dan did a great job. Ask for everything. I'm going to tell you, ask for $1 million. Ask. Let God decide if it's right for you or not. You know, he knows what's best for you. Ask for whatever and let God decide. There's some, like I say, there's some things I want, and I tell God I'd like, you know, but then, you know, God waits and a better one comes out. You know, I want one of those Surface computers, one of those little out that IBM, Microsoft makes. You know, but every year now it's up to Surface 6, so I got to wait till 8 or 9 comes out. You know, because once nine comes out, guess what I want? I want 9. You know, 6 isn't good enough anymore. You know, daily ask for anything I need, but let God decide whether it's good for you. You know that? God can make that decision. Don't be embarrassed to ask for anything. Ask for everything and let God decide. But be at peace with whatever God's decision is. Is that okay? I can ask for anything in my, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. But he also says, you notice that little phrase there, give us this day our daily bread. Is that kind of selfish? That's not, is it? We need to pray for others, all right? And so I put it this, ask for what other people need too. I'm at a point in my life now. Now, when I was younger, maybe this is where you're at. When I was younger, most of my prayers were for who? Me. When I was younger, most of my prayers were for me. It was about me. It's about what I needed, about going to school and my car and my work and my. Now I'm older. You know what most of my prayers are now? It's for my kids and my grandkids, and it's for you, and it's for us. It is. You know, it's for people that don't even know. You guys don't even know. They're on Facebook. Somebody was sharing some news for me, and I'm saying, I'm going to pray this way for you. She goes, will you really? And I go, yeah. She don't even darken the door of the church. She hasn't been in the church, and she was in vacation Bible school, one of the girls in Salida. And I pray for her, and I pray for all sorts of people. I pray more for others now than I ever pray for myself. But when I was, just get a hint, you know, when you're young, you're going to pray a lot for yourself. Thanks. Yeah. So here, let me, when you pray for yourself, that's called a petition. When you pray for others, that's called intercessory. If you want some biblical words, you know, some, we're going to have intercessory prayer. That's what it is. And so we pray for others. And here, as for me, oh, this was good. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. I didn't know that. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know that until I wrote this message, that it's a sin not to pray for others. Boy, I was really in trouble a long time ago. We need to pray for others. It needs to be what we do, and we need to seek prayer for others. So at lunch, you start praying about needs, your needs and others' needs, and you pray about those needs. You get up in the morning with gratitude. You bless God's name at breakfast, and at mid-morning, you just kind of refocus your life and really what matters most. And at lunch, you lay your needs before God. And so now you come down to that last, you know, it's that time after you ate lunch, you go back to work, and it's about 2 o'clock, and it's like, I'm sleepy. Anybody? I'm tired. You're just dragging through the day now. I just got to get through the day. You know, and so I wrote this way. I ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. Because I've got short temper. Anybody got a short temper? So I got to ask for forgiveness. You know, it's kind of time for me to just kind of step back. And Gary, you better start thinking about what you've said so far this day. You got to think about what you've done so far this day. And I need to start thinking about forgiveness. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Psalms 139, 23, and 24. We need to have that time of forgiveness. Do not go around carrying guilt. I loved Rick Warren. He did a great job with this on that fourth study. And if you haven't watched that fourth study, he did an awesome job on forgiveness in that fourth study. And as we wrestle with that, and just, you don't have to have guilt. If you got guilt, there's something wrong, because taking it, you're forgiven. He has taken it as far as the east is from the west, and God has removed that, and we don't have to carry around that guilt. Let me ask you a question here. How often do you carry the garbage out of your house? Once a month, right? If you don't carry the garbage out of the house, what's going to stink? The kitchen? The whole house. I'm going to tell you, if you hang around with guilt in your life, you're stink. Not just a part of your life, your whole life stink. You know, we think we can compartmentalize, right? That's just over here. You know, I haven't forgiven so-and-so. I haven't forgot such and such. And I'm just going to hold that over here. But I'm going to have all this over here. And I'm a good person over here. But we'll just keep. So I'm just going to keep my garbage in the kitchen from now on. The rest of the house is going to be nice and clean in my kitchen. We'll just keep all the garbage in the kitchen. The house is going to stink. Carry out that forgiveness. Get rid of that's garbage in your life. I'm going to tell you, guilt is garbage in your life. Is that okay to say? Get rid of it. Now, I told the group, and this is how I see guilt. Two things, real quick. Two things. Guilt comes from two things. Guilt comes to God saying, you need to confess that by name. I believe sometimes I confess, God, forgive me of all my sins today. I do that. But then there are some sins that God says, Gary, you need to face up to the fact you're really a jerk in this area. You need to confess that. I believe God does that. I think God wants me to come face to face with being a jerk and being who I am sometimes. He causes guilt. But once I confess it, that guilt comes back, you know what I do? I tell Satan, go to hell. I say, Satan, go. I do. Go home. Get out. That's where guilt comes. And if you've done that, you're free. That's what God does in our life. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. Rick did a great job on that part. You know, if you can't forgive others, you're not forgiven. Boy, that was very scary to me. And so we need to forgive others. Then he goes like this. That part of the page where it had this whole chapter 32:5, it had what, like 1 through 6, Psalms 32, 1 through 6. You need to highlight that. You need to star that in your book. That is a wonderful verse. I just put it in here. Until I finally admitted all my sins to you. I'm trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt. It's gone. That 32nd chapter, folks. That's a good chapter to be on. Let's go on real quick. In the morning, you had gratitude. You hate your breakfast. talk to God's name. You let that coffee break, and you focus on what really matters at lunch. At lunch, you talk about your needs. Right before you go home, the day after, you talk about forgiveness. Now you're getting ready to walk out of the house. You had a rough day. Now they're yelling at me that hard.
God.
You've been at work.
Nobody showed up.
The box is too low on you.
And now everybody else's work, you're doing.
And it's just all a mess in your life. You're going to need to make a wise decision, right? You got to make some wise decisions.
You go in the house like that, is it going to be good?
I read an article about a tree called the trouble tree. He'd walk up in front of his house, he'd lay in his tree, and he'd walk in the house.
He'd say, here's all my trouble, God.
There they are, goodbye.
Good to be in the house.
We need to make wise decisions.
Sometimes we don't make them.
And so in the light of that, we need to pray for wisdom.
We need to pray for wise decisions.
Look at what it says.
The Lord's Prayer.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one.
Deliver us.
God, help me make wise decisions as I walk out of my house.
God, help me be wise in the way I treat my family, the way I treat others around me.
God, help me be wise as I wrap up my day,
Lord.
Help me have peace, Lord.
As I go into this home today.
Close out my evening.
I'm going to tell you, that's what we can get in trouble.
You had a long day.
You had hot kids.
You finally get the kids down.
You sit down.
You turn the TV on.
You think you should watch.
Or you go on the computer and you get to some places that probably.
See, when we're tired and we're weak,
it's easy to make bad decisions.
So in the evening, God, lead me not into temptation.
God, help me make a wise decision.
Help me take care of this business.
And help me work through this right, Lord. And help me see things as you see them, God. Help me see the truth.
We need to see that in our lives.
Here's what it says and what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth.
Remember that all temptation that come into your life are no different from what others experience.
I underline that. Dan had you do all sorts of underline that there.
You know, we think, I'm the only one.
Anybody?
Nobody knows the troubles I see.
Anybody?
I'm the only one. Nobody, you know, this is, it's all, you know, nobody's
ever been tempted like this.
And God is faithful, and here's the promise. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. Just so you know, God ain't going to buy. I couldn't help myself. All right? God's not going to buy Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. All right? God's not going to buy that. God said, I had a door right there. It was right there. You know, there's a button on that computer. You know, there's a button on that remote changer.
So we need to make these decisions. So in the evening, you start making some wise decisions.
And then the last one I put down here is you're going to end with an encouraging truth.
I think it's great. Kind of bookend the end. You get up with gratitude and you end with an encouraging truth. You end with this,
an encouraging word from God. Claim some of the promises of God. Claim some of the scriptures of God. Let God speak to your heart.
You know, as you go to,
yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I've read this book. I know how this world ends. And I tell you one thing. God is on his throne. When it's all over and you know we close everything up, God's on his throne. I guarantee you something. When you go to bed tonight, God's on his throne. When you get up in the morning, God's going to be on his throne. You can rest a lot easier knowing that God's got this. Did you know that? God's got you. And you're safe and secure in his hands. And this isn't all there is to life. I share that at every funeral I do. I say, wouldn't it be sad if all there was is what we see here to life? That all I have to do is struggle through this world, whether I'm at 64 years, 70 years, 105 years, and I struggle through life, and I live to be 105, and oh, what a good life I had. This is a good life. I'm looking forward to the better life in the afterlife. Anybody?
Yeah.
So this isn't all there is. I can end on an encouraging word, man. I can go to bed, God, thank you that you're on the throne. I don't care what president does. I don't care what any politician does. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the TV does. I don't care what Anchorman says. I don't care what anybody does, God. You're God, and this is good. Anybody? See, that's what we have with God. And that's where we are with God. And I end with this scripture. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. So how can the wicked expect a long, good life? Here's what I want to say. You need to take time to pray. Whether it's 30 seconds, a minute, 5 minutes, an hour. You need to take time to pray. God wants to hear from you. God is waiting to hear from you. Some of you may remember a lady called Corrie Ten Boom. Anybody remember Corrie Ten Boom? Corrie Ten Boom was a Jewish woman who was in the concentration camps in Germany. You want to read a good book, read the book called Hiding Place. It's kind of an old book, but it's well worth reading. And here's what she said. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look to Christ, you'll be at rest. Isn't that a good way to close out the night? So I want to challenge you this morning. Have a conversation with God all day long. But then take some moments. Take some moments during that day to speak specifically to Him. Some moments just to talk about you. That gratitude, that name, that focus on really what matters, that need that you have, that forgiveness that we all need and we need to share, and those encouraging words. Just take a moment every day. Just every day. Have a moment to pray. We're going to have an invitation today, but it's going to be a little bit different. You hear me usually in our invitation. We usually give a call of invitation. We're not going to do that today. But I've kind of scheduled something different here. Because, you know, I always ask you to raise your hand and that I want to pray for you. Is that okay? So you raise your hands and I do. I lift you up and pray specifically for you that raise your hand. But we talked about prayer today and we talked about intercessory prayer, that we pray for one another. So what I did this week and this morning is I've enlisted some others to pray for us. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask on these topics that we talked about, the things that we kind of went over. And I've had 5 people I've asked to pray for us, and not just me, because we can all pray. And so we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to ask you a question. And then after I ask you a question, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And after you raise your hand, somebody's going to pray for you. Does that sound okay? Because I want us to get prayed for. And I know I need prayer. So a lot of times when I'm raising my hand and asking you to raise your hand, my hand's up intentionally because I'm one that needs it too. So let's just bow our heads for a moment. Music's going to play kind of softly. So I want to begin with this. If you're willing... We'll be right back. service went a little long, but we're not quite ready to wrap it up yet. We're going to enjoy a bread in just a minute, but we're going to take an offering. We always take an offering. We can't skip that. That's just part of who I am. Opportunity to support the ministry and what God is doing. Again, you don't have to. If you're a regular attender, we kind of anticipate regular attenders being a part, but sometimes there's different situations and circumstances. So as our ushers get ready, I just want to invite you to take that blue card. I want you, tell me what you think about the service. Yes, no, Gary, you know, whatever you want to say, let me know what you think. I like doing things different. And so we tried something different today, and the invitation was different. Let me know. Communicate. Maybe there's a decision. Maybe there's a question. Maybe there's a prayer need. That's that blue card. That's my communication card. It's your way to get me, because you might not catch me out here running around. I get kind of sometimes busy. But I want to hear from you, though. So that's why I put that card in. Take a few minutes, fill it out. Let me know if there's something there we could do, some way we could share. I'm going to invite our ushers forward. One of them will lead us in a word of prayer. Then you drop that blue card in the offering bag with the gifts and offerings. But let me know what God is up to. Would you let me know how God used this morning? And I'm going to ask Fred to come and share with us.